There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hey everyone, I'm Naomi.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy.
And we're a real life couple, of comedians. And on Couples Therapy in quarantine, we talk to our good friends and comedians over teleconferencing about relationships, and we answer your advice questions. That's the new opening, everyone.
Well, I do think it's funny that you said good friends and comedians, because comedians couldn't be our good friends. But then there are also people we talk to who are most certainly not our good friends.
Right. That's what I was saying. It's they're non-exclusive categories. There's a Zen diagram.
People we love.
There's a Zen diagram where the circles don't touch at all because they are in perfect harmony. But there is a Venn diagram where those two circles, good friends and comedians, do cross over quite a bit. Yeah. Today is one of those episodes.
Absolutely. You have already heard the dulcet tones of today's guest. We are talking to writer Isaac Oliver. You may know Isaac Oliver from his book Intimacy Idiot, or from his work as a writer on shows like Glow and High Maintenance. Isaac is honestly a literati darling.
Yes.
In my head. I say yes. He's a new New York literati. You
yes.
know?
It's
Nathan
like,
Lane is a fan.
It's like if you took the New Yorker and you took all the crap out and you just left all the good stuff in.
Yeah.
That's Isaac.
That's Isaac Oliver. A truly, truly magical time. Isaac is like a dear friend of ours from New York. So, you know, I think one of the things I've been trying to do, not only do I feel free now that we're independent, but I also just am desperate for friendship. So I am loving these episodes where we sit and we talk to people we already know and can just kind of get into it. And I feel like we really did that with this ep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. It's you know, the thing about like when you are talking to someone on a podcast that you're already good friends with is that guys, that chemistry is already there. The charisma. You could feel the charisma just flowing into your ears.
Exactly. Okay, you guys. So before we get to Isaac, just two quick things. Every Wednesday at 2 p.m. PST, Andy and I go live on Twitch. Sometimes it's just us. Sometimes we bring in comedian duos. So either way, come through, queens. It's an hour. It's really fun. We are the CTQC, Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew. So you need to get up in there if you've got free time. 2 p.m. PST, 5 p.m. EST.
Is everyone going back to work already? Is that what's happening? I know there's flare-ups everywhere, so maybe you'll be back at home and raring to watch something at 2 p.m. PST in the afternoon.
Or you can do sometimes what some of our other people in the crew do. They'll take a late lunch break. And they'll spend that lunch break at 2 p.m. eating a meal and watching us pop off at the mouth. So it can be done if you feel like it. That is at twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. Also, the episodes do stay up for a couple days after. So just in case you are busy, but then you're like later on, you're like, what can I do to forget?
Well, I'll say this.
You can go to twitch.tv/couplestherapypod.
The episodes with guests stay up for 2 weeks.
Ooh, baby.
Episodes with just us go down after a little while, and then the audio goes up on the Patreon page. So
okay, the page. Also, you guys, what we do with Isaac today, as always, when we have our wonderful guests, we answer your relationship questions. And if you've got a question, do not hesitate to reach out and touch a bitch, okay?
Literally any, you know what? Now that we're in choir, we're taking any and all questions. Doesn't have to be relationship. Naomi and I have lived lives.
Yes.
I've been a professor. Naomi was an art magazine editor.
I also just have a lot of opinions. Do you want to know what you should be eating? I will tell you. Okay, so if you want to hit us up, the advice number, because it's always great to hear your voice, 323-524-7839. And if you can't do that, you can always hit us up on Instagram at Couples Therapy Pod or Twitter at Naomi and Andy and slide into them DMs. DM with a Q.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, I think that's all the housekeeping. Why don't we talk to Isaac? Roll it! Before we started, you had started telling us, we were joking around about the secret to relationships, and you had told us a story about the secret to relationships. Do you mind retelling it on the pod?
Not at all. The theater I used to work at, I for 12 years was a box office manager off Broadway, and the president of our company, her name is Cora Khan, and she's a very sort of towering titan figure in New York theater, and she was married to Bernie Gersten, the late great Bernie Gersten, who just passed away, and he ran Lincoln Center Theater. So they were this like incredible power couple in New York, and every holiday they would have the company holiday party at their huge apartment. They don't live there anymore, but they had this huge penthouse apartment on 14th Street and like knocked down all the walls. They like bought all four units, and so it was this big like wraparound like 360 apartment. And one year, like, I remember there was like a group in the kitchen, and we were like just admiring the kitchen, and Cora was, you know, receiving the admiration and, you know, funneling it into stories. And she was, she was like, you know, Patty once told us, and Patty being Patty LuPone, that the reason she, she said, the reason you and Bernie work, the reason you work is, you know, the secret is two dishwashers. Two dishwashers. A his and hers dishwasher. Which I feel is where you guys are headed with your his and hers cornflakes.
That's true. But we do each need a box of cornflakes. But I also don't understand why having two dishwashers means anything about a relationship. I think Patty LuPone was wrong. And, you know, I shouldn't say that on record. She's a queen, but...
Naomi, you're going to get this show canceled. We just became independent a couple episodes, and now you're going to be canceled already by attacking Patty LuPone.
I'm not attacking her. I'm simply disagreeing with the idea that having two different machines for dishes somehow affects the emotional bond between two people.
In this world, disagreeing means you get canceled. You can't disagree with anyone. Especially people more powerful than you.
That's true. Oh, God. But it is. My career's just beginning. I'm sorry,
and,
Patty.
And Patty LuPone will end it.
Please, please, Patty, don't come for us.
Don't come for us, Patty.
Please, Patty, don't hurt us.
She doesn't give a fuck. Have you seen her in interviews? She will shade anyone in interviews.
I believe it. I like her. She's mean.
That was also the night where... they also had a bidet in one of their bathrooms, and I was really excited about it because I love a bidet. Yeah. And but the door to the bathroom didn't lock. And so the person coming out said to my friend and me, my coworker, oh, the door doesn't lock. Just be careful. And so I said to my coworker, I said, please, you know, just watch the door. I got to use this bidet. I don't need to, but I want to use this bidet.
I got to use this bidet.
And, you know, so he was like, okay, I'll watch the door. And so I go in and I am just having a fabulous time. And then I guess something shiny happened and he wandered off because Bernie Gersten, titan of American theater, opens the door. But the thing is, he wasn't walking in to use it. He was walking in to show the bidet to someone because he had people with him. He like opened the door and had like two people with him. And there I was, you know, just resplendent on the bidet, like a bidet model. And I think that is really the only way he continued to sort of remember who I was each year. Because I would really only see him at that party, and he was always very kind to me. I think it's because
But like,
he saw me beached on his bidet.
You were a bidet player.
Oh my God. And did he just like slam it as soon as he saw you? Was it like, did you lock eyes? Like,
We locked. There was eye contact. I think I tried to sort of cobble together a vocal response, but I don't think much came out. It's weird to make eye contact with someone when a jet stream of water is hitting your asshole, like warm water on your asshole, and then you make eye contact with three fully clothed people in a doorway. It's really I don't know. I recommend it. It really shifts your equilibrium a bit.
Wait, I mean, look, I would never have even taken the risk of doing anything if there was not a lock on the door. Right. I would have peed with my back to the door and constantly looking back at the door, or trying to figure out what I could have put against the door. But this is kind of why I admire you, Isaac, because you do take risks.
Well, for a bidet, I mean, you gotta.
Well, Andy loves a bidet, too. It's funny, when we talked to Cole Escola on this, he has a bidet, and Andy was like, where'd you get your bidet? Send me the link to the bidet. He really wants a bidet.
Oh, love, does he have one of those, like, those tushy hook-ons? My mom just got one, and I'm very jealous.
You can have it, too. In quarantine, well,
I can't. I have a tankless toilet.
Oh.
Because I'm in an old New York pre-war apartment, and it's one of those that where the pipes just go right into the wall, and there's no tank on it. So... I mean, I guess I could try and figure out how to like unhook something and hook it into the wall, but I don't think that's right.
That's too much work for just a little.
I've already become a cook and a part-time self hair barber, and it's not going great. Not going great.
But that is like your stories. You know, you are someone who takes risks in them, whereas I'm someone who. Sits on the couch and watches Scrubs, and so, so there's something like I'm like, oh, I never
also
would have met
risky.
I would
also
have never
risky.
I would have never met that person in a hotel room three cities away from where I live.
Oh yeah.
Whereas you're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Well, he paid for my Bolt bus ticket.
But
you know.
But Isaac, were you always...
It'd be like rude. It'd be rude to not go to Providence and stay in a comfort inn.
Were you always a risk taker sounds too dramatic, but just like, were you always kind of like down, or has some of that come from being a writer? Like in a way, you know, you kind of need stuff to write about. So are you more, you know what I mean? Like, or were you always, even as like a teenager, like, sure, let's go. You know?
No. I mean, I'm gratified to hear that I come off that way, because I'm a very fearful person, and I'm a neurotic person, and I really can worry myself into a lot of corners. But I think there's something about like sort of what you were saying, like the second option of being a writer. I'm given confidence in that sense, because it being able to write about these things gives me a control over them, you know, makes them sort of my stories. And I think about the role technology has played in my sex life, and I don't think I would really have any sex if it weren't for apps and if it weren't for the internet, because I cannot really talk to men at all in person. Like,
really?
I am really nervous and shy, and that anonymity I'm only brave really through anonymity, or through a situation in which I have a lot of control, or if I'm doing a show, or, you know, writing something that's in my voice and in something that I figured out how I want to tell it, the lens, all those things. It's, But if it weren't for which I do go back and forth on, I'm like, is this bravery or is this cowardice or is it just a beautiful marriage of the two? You know, there's a thin line between them, and I think I sort of evenly straddle both.
Resplendent, maybe leaning a bit towards a
resplendent on
over
a
both lines, right?
Wait, was there ever anything that you did where you're like, for a story that you regretted afterwards, you're like, that wasn't worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Are your brains like, this is sort of a side question, but are your brains like really sort of like select alling all of your memories of like before Corona and just kind of like putting them in a folder on your desktop and like now your desktop feels completely empty? Like, I don't know.
It's the opposite. It's actually like, I was thinking like, it's, you know, those claw machines? My memory right now is like a claw machine. And so it goes down to grab something, it comes up empty. It goes down to grab something, comes up.
Yeah.
And once in a while, it'll grab, you know, a stuffed animal dog. And that'll be, that's the memory.
And you're like, that's what I remember. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I will say I don't go into hookup scenarios or dates really thinking, oh, maybe I'll get a story out of this. I do go in, I swear to God, I go in thinking maybe I'll get a boyfriend out of this.
Well, that was going to be a question.
I'd rather a boyfriend than a story, but...
Well, I wasn't even thinking just dating. I was thinking, you know, you have done a lot of stuff for the New York Times over the years. And, like, you've done the, you know what I mean? Like, the New Year's Eve, like, a couple New Year's Eves, you've kind of gone out and about, correct?
Yeah.
Did you go to, like, Britain or something?
Is what?
Didn't you go... You went across the pond.
Oh, I went to Venice. Vienna. Oh, my God.
It's okay. The claw machine picked up Venice. It's okay.
The claw machine picked up Venice, somewhere I've never been. Okay. No, I went to Vienna. W Magazine sent me to Vienna for 48 hours to cover the Life Ball. That I don't regret. That was incredible. I have some regrets about the second New Year's Eve piece I did for the New York Times. I went to this like group dance class, and it's a social dance, and now I can't even remember the name of it, so I'll offend this community all over again. But they were all so offended by how I'd written about that dance. You know, I was trying to sort of write about it, you know, through my sort of social anxiety lens, and I really offended all of them because they read it as them coming off as sort of mean or, you know, and God, the comments on
Lord.
It was lots and lots of comments and emails to my website. And anyway, and then I had gone to this party. The end of the night was this sort of underground queer party deep in like Ridgewood. And I used a term in the article, DIY, which was a term I saw listed for the venue on New York Magazine. So I used that thinking, oh, this is how this space is described. And then the owner of the venue or the guy running the venue and this pop-up party sent me this rightfully scathing email about how that term is a flag for police attention and shutting down spaces that maybe don't quite have all of their permits or, you know, are shut out of permits. And
really?
And he said, you've endangered a queer space. I don't know. I felt really terrible about that and still do, actually. I regret that. But, was this even answering your question? I'm sorry.
Now I feel like I've made you stressed out. I think, you know, because...
No, not at all.
I want to go back to something you'd said before. You know, because you mentioned talking about, like, you know, you go into these hookup scenarios hoping for a boyfriend. You know, we are going to be answering relationship questions. So just to let the listeners kind of know, what's your backstory? Where are you at with relationships? I've known you now, what, 5 years about? Have you ever had a BF in the time we've been together? You and I have been
Never.
In a relationship?
Yeah.
The time we've been together?
Just you, baby. Just you. No, my longest relationship was my high school boyfriend. And we dated on and off for, I think, like 3 months, 4 months. And that was, you know, years ago. And it's never quite happened. There have certainly been applicants for the position. And I didn't quite have fair hiring methods, or I don't know what the metaphor is there. I didn't know I needed someone in that. I don't know. I didn't have the budget for it. Anyway.
No, I love this. I'm into this metaphor.
HR rejected them.
Yes, the emotional budget. Yeah, you didn't have the emotional budget.
Strict HR. Right. I had bad leadership. I don't know. Anyway, I'm a lifelong single person. Which, look, I went on a few dates with a lovely guy last summer, and he said to me, he was like, I don't know why you aren't snatched up. I don't know why someone hasn't snatched you up yet. And first I was like, do you have to describe a relationship as something like Liam Neeson needs to rescue me from? But I was like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, well, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. And he was like, I'm worried it's because you don't want to be snatched up. And, and it really was very, insightful of him, because I think in many moments of my life, like, yeah, that is true. There's a lot that I love about being single. I love my autonomy. I love my own space, my own schedule, I'm incredibly lonely at lots of times. But actually in this pandemic, like there have been many times where I've thought, so many dear friends of mine who are single at the moment and have been in relationships, you know, have lamented to me. They're like, oh, I miss having someone. I miss being with someone. I really wish I could be with someone right now. I don't know when I'm going to hug someone again. I don't know when I'm going to be held again. And I share those concerns, certainly. Like, there are many moments where I'm like, this would be great if someone could just hold me right now. But on the whole, I'm really grateful that I don't have something specific to miss, you know, that I don't have right now in the solitude, where solitude is being asked of us, you know, where distance is being asked of us. I read in the New York Times the other day, they interviewed all these epidemiologists, and the majority of them estimated that it's like a year until we can hug someone again, who's not like a partner or someone we've been quarantining with. And that was devastating to me. I was like, oh my God, it's a year to a hug. But so this is hard in many ways emotionally, but I am just grateful that a relationship is kind of an abstract notion to me, you know, that I don't have like I'm used to sleeping alone. I'm used to sitting on the couch alone. And if I roll over, there's just air, you know, like so I'm grateful in that specific way, you know, for my sort of self-possession as a single person. But
is it something, do you think relationship is something you pine for, or like you will want? I mean, that's, it's such a weird question. How do you know like how you will change in the future?
No, I certainly, I mean, and especially now that it's becoming clear that some of our prime years are spent indoors, like a sort of sickly Agatha Christie character. Like I just, you know, I'm very close to putting an Afghan just over the lower half of my body for each day. I do pine for that. I long for that, and I would like to grow and evolve into someone who can make space in their life for someone and can take shape around someone as well. But
oh my God, the poetry of Isaac Oliver. Literally, oh God. When Isaac talks, I'm like,
I know.
Write it down. Take shape around someone. I'm like, stun me, queen.
Well, as I've gotten old, like I have so many friends who are in open relationships or some variant around that, and not just gay couples, but straight couples too. And I, for the longest time, I was like, oh, I could never do that. I could never imagine that. And I still kind of land in that field, but I also think, Well, I don't know. I mean, as opposed to having some sort of space where I want to shove someone into, well, but, but I think like, you know, and maybe this is a romantic notion and will lead to 20 more years of being single, but I, you know, I think, well, I'd rather meet someone and see what shape they take in my life as opposed to trying to sort of hammer them into something.
but then here's a question, anyway. Though. Because
yeah,
you
yeah.
talked about how, you know, you do get nervous talking, even though it's, again, like, I'm joking, but at the same time, it's like, to me, you are so easy to talk to and you speak so easily that I've never met the shy, tongue-tied version
yeah,
of you.
Yeah.
But you know, you say when you go online, you know, it gives you a little bit of freedom. You know, you kind of like control the convo. You're sending the messages. You can think, you know, I get that part. But then do you find once you meet the person in real life as a result of, you know, having that chat, are you then looser when you meet them or do you get kind of tongue-tied again? Do the walls come up?
Oh, it's a whole, yeah. I mean, I try to meet. I do think an IRL meeting should happen fairly quickly. Like I have shamefully, you know, fallen into even in my wizened state, you know, as in my mid to late 30s, like I thought I was smarter than this, but even last year this happened. But those situations where you just text someone and you haven't met yet, and then you meet and it's an entirely different energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really good at the first few dates. Like I'm good at that. And because I do like talking and I like getting to know someone and I feel, you know, okay, like flirting or whatnot, but it's that, it's those kind of, more, I don't know, the shape shifting, fourth, fifth, sixth dates and the, and, where
I
really
why are they shape-shifting?
Well,
there's no agenda, right? Like once once you get past the third date, it's now like, what do we do?
Yeah, there's what do we do? Okay, well we sleep together. I don't know. I mean, I do there is a woodland creature aspect to me where I do. And it is, I mean, he actually used the right words. It's the snatching up of it. I really begin to feel
taken.
Nervous.
You feel taken.
I feel taken.
You want to be saved from the clutches of this killer. I get it.
Yeah, and it's very awkward to be a submissive with intense control issues. Like with intense, like it's like, I want you to dominate me, but I also don't ever want to lose a modicum of control. And that is...
Right.
Insane.
You're like an Ouroboros of a top and bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
It's eating itself. In that.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know.
Talking with Isaac is the closest I think I get to thinking what the Algonquin Round Table was like.
Yes, 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 yes.
Are you serious?
He very yeah. much is. Yes, you are. Oh. You are my literati friend.
Oh,
you
my God.
You are the person where I'm like, I'm smart now. I'm smarter and better as a result of that conversation.
Because it's more, well, not to like keep, not to be like a smoke bidet and blow smoke up your butt.
Hey, but like, let me just get resplendent. One sec.
but it is, you know, you put it together. Like we have the same references, but I'll go off into like some weird philosophical realm. And you're like, no, I know how to make this eloquent and funny, whereas I'm just yelling about Dasein or whatever fucking Heidegger shit.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I don't know any philosophy and I don't even I yeah. You've got me speechless, which bidets do as well.
On that, do you want to take a break and come back and answer some listener questions?
Absolutely. Ready to handle your scandal with Isaac Oliver in 2 seconds. Hey, you guys. Hope you are loving Isaac as much as we do. Now, just for one quick sec, I want to remind you, ask you, beseech you to subscribe, rate, and review Couples Therapy. It is so important to subscribe. Knowing how many actual subscribers we have really does help us out. Also, if you are interested in repping the pod or also just letting people know what you're about, we have t-shirts, the Couples Therapy logo, and we also have the Gotta Miss a Bitch tee, okay? Gorge, fun, comfy, soft. If you want to get one of those, you can go to couplestherapy.merchnow.com. Again, couplestherapy.merchnow.com. Now, if a t-shirt ain't your thing, you can also join our Patreon. If you just want some more content in your ear holes, think about it. And if you want to support us during this time, as we're independent, as we are trying to give you that fresh, fresh, sweet content, you can be a Patreon for just $5 a month. You get 2 episodes a month, plus a lot of bonus content. So, might be worth it. Get up into it at patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
Now back to Isaac. And we're back.
Yes.
With Isaac Oliver. We got a bunch. We have a surplus of questions.
Yes.
I tried to pick
really?
Out some, yeah, yeah, some of the best, some of the most appropriate, let's say, ones for us.
Oh, my God.
Fun ones.
First thing, this is just a fun thing. It's not actually a question, but someone butt-dialed the helpline, and Google's transcription service put it through as this is what they said. Off, off, dead, 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 Monday through Thursday, Thursday, Thursday. And I just thought that was both poetic and also frightening.
Yeah, was it Robert Durst?
Off, off, dead, 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 Monday through Thursday, Thursday, Thursday.
Yeah, killed them all, of course. The burp. The
burp killed them all.
But for real, so that's just a fun little thing.
Yeah, but for real, that was beautiful.
I thought we'd start off with a little softball. This comes to us from Anonymous on Instagram.
Oh.
How long are you allowed to absolutely loathe someone who ghosts you after immediately hooking up after once after 6 months of dating? So they dated for 6 months, then hooked up.
Okay.
Then that person ghosted them.
And now
They only hooked up once, or it took.
I don't know what counts as hooked up. I don't know if they.
Wait, I have to read the question again because it almost felt like a riddle.
Riddle be this.
How long are you allowed to absolutely loathe someone who ghosts you after immediately hooking up once after 6 months of dating? So, hooked up once after 6 months of dating, then got ghosted, and now just loathe.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Is that person?
No, have any of us, of the three of us, waited 6 months? I have
I have not.
I'm not a sex monster, but but
well,
6 months seems like a long time.
I will speak for the sex monster community, and no, I've never waited. Is this person writing this from like one of those colonial sleep sacks where you're like,
what's a colonial sleep sack?
You haven't seen it's like back in the day where like they were worried that young people would fuck in the middle of the night, and so their parents would like literally bind them, like mummify them in these like sacks. It's in that, well, we can't watch him anymore because he's a racist, but Mel Gibson, who's such a nightmare, but that Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot.
Oh.
Heath Ledger plays his, this is where I found out about it. Heath Ledger plays his son, and they like wrap him up in like a straitjacket to go to bed.
Oh
yeah,
because
they're worried that like the young men would go find the young girl, sneak into the girl's room and fuck in the middle of the night. So
wow. So this person was doing that for 6 months.
Again, these are the people that founded this country.
Exactly. It's all fucked. It's never been good.
Why do we live in hell? Oh, the founders of the country had celibate sleep sacks around.
Right. Land of the free. there's a lot to this question. And I would respond to this question with more questions.
Yes,
are you
yes,
in
yes.
a sleep sack?
Yes. Number one.
Are you in an intentional living community / cult? And what happened in the hookup? It sounds like something really, really important happened in that hookup. If after 6 months of dating to ghost someone. I mean, ghosting is never good. Ghosting is not appropriate.
Yeah, but ghosting anyone, hookup or no, after 6 months, ghosting is not acceptable.
No, yeah.
Not after 6 months. Like, ghosting after 2 dates, annoying, but okay, we're not. But, like, after
six
months, it's like...
They know where you live.
Home. Exactly.
Right.
Like, I'm like, absolutely, you can't ghost me. You can't disrespect me.
Yeah. I just want to know what hookup, like, was there, what is hookup? Is hookup just sex? And then they were doing stuff before? So, or was this the first intimacy?
The first intimacy.
Yeah.
I'm living
intimacy.
In the 1700s.
Mm-hmm. Like I love that TV movie. The first intimacy, starring Judith Light. I mean, if this was this person's first intimacy, then I am very sorry because that is traumatic and that's
loathe them forever.
Yeah, I say loathe them forever, actually, and loathing and grudges they mature, you know,
and they
reward you. and they compel you forward through time. So loathe them forever.
Yeah. I say don't ever get rid of your bitterness. You can like you do things like go to therapy so that it's not so it doesn't affect you on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But just that I don't know, I can't get into this LA thing where everyone's just like, we're all one, you know, I meditate. I can't get into it. I'm like, no. My bitterness gives me an edge.
It gives you energy.
Yes.
Yes, it's galvanizing. A galvanizing bitterness.
Uh-huh.
That sounded like Isaac Oliver poetry, what I just said.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Bitterness. It's a wind in your sails.
Sail on.
Have you? Let me ask this of both of you. Do you carry grudges?
Oh, absolutely. There are things that really, like, it's obviously, I will say for me, though, sometimes it is, it's a sickness. Like, okay, well, like, you know, like, my high school nemesis is his wife. And, like, whenever I see her in the, like,
in the trades.
Or, you know, just, like, in pictures, like, at the award shows and stuff, I'm always like, she was so mean. And it's like, literally, it was 20 years ago. Why? And it's like, the fact that you even call her high school nemesis, I'm sure she wouldn't say that about me. Like, she was just like a mean person. Like, not like a popular mean girl, like a too cool smoking outside school mean girl. I don't think she would ever, like, I don't register on her, and yet I just remember how I was like, wow, this person thinks I'm a sack of trash.
She's the Penn State to your University of Pittsburgh. It's the only sports metaphor I ever can use.
I don't understand the reference.
I know, that flew right over my head.
I'll explain it. Pitt thought Penn State was their rival, but Penn State didn't think Pitt was their rival. Penn State was too... I went to Pitt.
Oh.
That's the only reason I know this. I once went to a football game because a friend of mine was visiting and he wanted to go. And I'm just like, all right, I guess I'll go. It was terrible.
I'm so sorry.
We sat in front of a frat, AE Pi. And you couldn't bring alcohol into the into the stadium. And so they had the brilliant idea to soak gummy lifesavers in vodka. And then they were eating that. They were eating these gummy lifesavers, and their hands were gummy, so they wiped it on the back of my shirt.
Oh!
My Mighty Mighty Boston shirt.
Fuck these people.
And I turn around and I go, what are you doing? Don't do that. And they said, it's cool, dude. We won't. And then they kept doing it. And I was just like, at some point, I was just like, fuck, what am I going to do? Fight a frat?
So you didn't. So you had to sit through
you
it.
You didn't?
Yeah, I sat because my...
No, he didn't.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible... how's that? There's a grudge. I hate AE Pie.
Yeah.
That's a grudge.
Those specific people. Yeah. I hope that they all ended up living terrible lives. Still, just from that one thing.
I try to forgive, but I never forget.
Yeah. Oh, know? My God, never.
And it's just good. It's good to. I don't know. Negative energy is very underrated.
I agree with you, Isaac, and that's why we've always been close. Andrew, do you have another question for Isaac?
I do. Let's go with this one. This comes to us from Matt. He has DM'd us on Instagram.
Oh.
Hi. Hope my favorite podcast is surviving in these pandemic times. Your podcast has made my home a happier home, so please keep making content.
Wow.
Oh, my God, Maddie.
I do have a couples therapy question. So Quarren Bay and I started dating together 6 months ago, shortly after I moved to Chicago. This is from a month or two ago, by the way. He's a cutie. I love him while also driving me nuts. And he put an emoji of nuts in there. Quarren Bay lives 2 miles from me, and we have been seeing each other since pandemic lockdown began and have been quarantining at his and my place. Here's my question. This pandemic has put our relationship in a pressurized cooker, so to speak, and we are basically living a life as if we were living together in the same apartment. I am an extroverted person, and I love date nights, and now dinner together becomes me making something and asking him if he wants some. But I still want dates, in quotes, in these pandemic times. Like, obviously, we will be spending time together, but I want that, quote, unquote, beginning of the relationship, intentional time. Am I a monster in these pandemic times for still wanting dates, or should I calm my gay self down and wait till these times are over? And then this next part is all in caps. Also, what kind of dates can we do in lockdown? That is all. I love you both.
Calm your gay self down is what I say.
Yeah.
I say you gotta calm your gay self down.
Yeah.
Dates in lockdown. I mean.
That's ridiculous. Know. We are in a global pandemic. I am sorry.
And a second civil rights movement. There's enough
exactly.
going on.
Yes. We are in an uprising and...
We are at the social intersection of 1918 and 1968.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Andy,
yeah.
Gorgeous.
You want to go on a date? Put on a mask, go to a protest. That's a great date.
I know what you're saying, though, Matt, this feeling of, again, because it's been only like 6 months, 7 months at this point, and feeling like you're already like a couple that's been together years.
You're
like
already married.
Yeah,
you're
like
already
you feel like you've lost that like spot. I
do not envy couples who had just started dating and had to somehow leap to like 28 years in. To basically being that movie Amore. Have you seen that movie where like the husband and the wife with dementia and you're just so and it just like I think those kinds of relationships this is particularly hard on because it's like what are you supposed to do? Like not are you supposed to break up because a pandemic started and so instead you're accelerated to you know on Golden Pond and it just but even worse like on Golden Pond meets like Panic Room and
it's like the opposite of Cocoon
yeah exactly and so I don't know I think they're going to be so many divorces after this pandemic I think like
that's what happened in China
yeah.
Really?
Yes, when they lifted it, couples were getting divorced left and right. When they finally lifted quarantine, they were like, bye, bitch. It's like wild.
I mean, I would say to Maddie, Matt.
But I like that you're calling me Maddie, like we're dear friends. I love
one
it.
Of my dear, Maddie, one of my Matt. Dear friends. One of my dear friends. I call him Maddie, so I'm pretending this might even be him. But no, it's not him. But he's married. But I would say if they are quarantining, if they both are in each other's apartments, I mean, I wonder if there is something to, like, sort of not cohabitating, but treating a visit to each other's apartment as a date or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's, well, yeah. I guess he didn't say the space was the problem. It's more
what they're doing is, like, not what being they're exciting. Doing. But, yeah, I mean, it depends. We don't know where they live, right? We don't know where in the country. Because the one thing that Andy and I can think of is, like, drive-ins. If you have a car and you live somewhere where there is a drive-in, that's, like, the only thing where you can actually leave the house
but
or
I think,
do something else.
I think what he's saying is that he wants he's craving that kind of special feeling. You know, the quarantine just basically just dropped a bunch of boulders on all of our lives.
Yeah. Right? Weighted blankets.
Well, I was going to say we're all trying to crawl out from the rubble.
Okay, exactly.
That was
the metaphor I was going to. I'm so sorry to interrupt a metaphor. That's rude, and I love you.
Naomi, my metaphors are sacred.
I know.
If there's one thing about my metaphors,
I know.
It is that they are.
They have
that divine spirit to them that cannot be ruptured.
Honestly, you're correct. And I
someone get these two a second dishwasher.
But like, and we're all trying to crawl out from the rubble and try to get back to some kind of normalcy. But the normalcy is still covered in rubble. So, you know, there's this, I get that, like, kind of, it's, I'm sure it's the same thing. Like, anytime there has been like a world historical event that has like ruptured everyone's lives.
Of course.
And you're still pining for that, you know, what your life was like before then. And there's also this kind of mourning that's part of it where you're like, some part of all of us know that we're not going back to the same lives we had before. And we're going to have to figure out new ways of living.
Right.
Even when there's a vaccine, everything's changed.
Right.
Right. And
it's
cliche to just say it like that, but you know, I think what Matt's missing is he's mourning that not just the relationship is not going to have that same energy anymore, but like everything I think
is,
so I think that's all tied up in this.
Right.
And you know, I would say instead of like trying to recapture that energy, try to think forward into like what could this relationship look like in this new world?
I think that's true. I think you're right. I think there's also this element too of, you know, instead of pining, because I think a lot of it can't really be controlled. I think you're right, Isaac. Like maybe you guys take a couple days where you don't see each other and then you see each other and make like a concerted plan to like order something from a nice restaurant you both like and like, you know, make it a time.
Yeah.
And then also, are you still liking this person 7 months into a relationship, half of which has been in quarantine? Because to me, there is something very valuable in the fact that you guys still like each other. Like, it's a lot to put in a, you know, as you said, like, it's a monkey wrench to put in a relationship suddenly we're in quarantine after, you know, 3 months together. So if you guys are comfortable, like, try to see if you can get any warm and fuzzies from that. There is, you know what I mean? Like, for me, I'm always like, who's a ride or die? Who don't I have to pretend around? That, for me, is the part that makes me happy way more. But I think about a little bit when you and I first got together, Andy. You know, you weren't working. I had a full-time job. We lived, you know, Harlem to Greenpoint. We never really had, like, datey, romantic-y times. Like, you didn't have money to take me anywhere.
I took her to UCB to see a show.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We never had romantic dates.
Peak romance. Who doesn't love peeling their feet off of a carpet?
But I remember, you know, being like, is this going to be it? Or does this person really like me? Because I think in the early parts of a relationship, the only way you know how someone feels is like the time they take, the money they spent. And like when they don't really do that, you're like, okay, does he just like me because I'm the girl willing to come to Greenpoint or what? But to look back and say, like, well, if we can still have fun and enjoy each other without any frills or any, like, special fantastical activity, or you know what I mean? It means sort of,
right, no frills, the yeah. generic box of pasta,
exactly,
at the path mark.
Exactly.
It does sound like Maddie's, who I will continue to call him Maddie, Maddie's boyfriend should make dinner
a
couple nights.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That it sounds like that would be a nice gesture for his boyfriend to do. They could, I wonder what they're wearing. Like, are they in sweatpants and a t-shirt every day? Or are they...
That's real.
But I will say, I mean, I'm wearing the shirt that I Marco Polo'd Naomi in maybe two nights ago, but it has buttons on it. It is a button-down.
Yeah, it's a collared,
and I will say,
shirt.
Yeah, having a collar, having a shirt with some architecture to it is really... it does a lot right now. Like, maybe they could... You know, I mean, I don't want to speak to anyone's budget, but if they are able to, maybe, like, order some new clothes from a bankrupt retailer and save J. Crew from insolvency. And I don't know, like, yeah, just I think there are little efforts that can be made. It's hard. Like, do you guys... do dates right now? Are you?
No. But but we put effort. I think there's,
right.
I make Naomi dinner a lot.
Yeah.
And I try to make it special. I try to make it stuff that I know will make her happy.
And I order dinner and I try to make it stuff that,
that will
make him happy.
No, you made pancakes this morning. You know,
you knew
that I would enjoy pancakes, right?
That's true.
So I think maybe the thing that Matt's missing is that it doesn't have to be a date, maybe. I don't know. A date so much as effort. Maybe
gestures. Yeah.
Gestures and effort.
And spontaneity. I mean, he's feeling what we're all feeling, which is, my God, that I'm looking at the walls and
no
what
control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes. I mean, going to the supermarket is like planning an Ocean's 11 type heist at this point.
Very much so. It was like very intense. It was like leave no trace.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep it moving.
Yeah. Spontaneity has that. That is one of the casualties of the COVID era.
Right. Right.
Spontaneity. We tried it once and it freaked me out. Like a couple weeks in, we were just driving around to get out of the house. And we thought, oh, what about, why don't we go to this restaurant? Or why don't we get takeout from this restaurant we like? Let's just try it. Let's see what happens. You know, we'll put it, we made a kind of a plan. And, you know, we'll put it, the trunk is the designated contamination site. And we made the plan. And Naomi went out. We pulled up. She got out of the car to get the food. And for whatever reason, the trunk wouldn't open. So she goes to put it in the back seat.
The floor
of the back seat. And I like freaked out.
He went off on me. And I was like, well, the trunk won't open. So what do you want to have happen here? I don't plan to lick the floor of the fucking back seat.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to give us COVID if I put this on the floor of the back seat.
Right. So even us trying to be spontaneous ended in like me having an anxiety attack.
I know.
We've worked on it. We've worked on it in couples therapy. It's better now.
Yeah.
I mean, anxiety and the one source of spontaneity in my life is my anxiety disorder. So it's like it is. You kind of never know what situation. I would encourage Maddie to develop an anxiety disorder and then just be open to whatever each day might bring with his love. I also, if they do live in New York City, I would encourage them to not go to Maskless Margarita Mondays on 9th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen as a date. God, I feel for them. But I think they're going to make it. They sound like they're in a good spot.
I like these two.
Yeah,
are going to make it.
Yeah, so effort, some kind of effort, some kind of putting the time in or the gestures.
Don't wear pajamas if you're wearing pajamas and take turns cooking and, you know, and, maybe and, put and your you phones can, down and don't scroll through Twitter.
Put your phones down. There are things you can do. You can read the same. You can read things together. You can write notes to each other. Like, there is a sort of Jane Austen aspect to this. I've really been enjoying putting pen to paper. And send me your address, guys. I'm sending postcards out. And, like, ooh, it just... it's been fun to, like, write things to people. I don't know. There are sort of analog things that are now no longer analog because we can't do much else. But just find, like, and little gifts from the internet, little fun things they could buy. A lot of this, it sounds like we need to be just saying this to Maddie's boyfriend, quite frankly.
Right. Exactly. Matt, have him listen to this.
Yeah. Cook Matt dinner and buy Matt some little things from Etsy. But leave the package for 2 days.
Let's do one last question. This comes to us from an Instagram DM from Alora.
Okay.
I have been single for about a year now, and I have only had long-term relationships with men. I'm a queer and non-binary person, and I'd like to try dating women or other gender non-conforming individuals, but I also have a lot of body confidence issues. On top of that, I'm a very socially awkward and anxious individual. I tend to compare myself negatively, especially to other women / AFAB, which means I had to look up assigned female at birth, NB, which is non-binary people. I want to open up and try dating different kinds of people because cis straight men haven't proven able to understand me emotionally.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being with them feels so much more easy. Should I seek out resources and spend some time not trying to date men, or just keep being me and see what happens? Do you have any advice on how to push past the fear and give other kinds of relationships and people a chance? Help, lol. LOL.
Help, LOL is so funny. That's so,
that's
like,
the best.
I'm stressed out, but no, not really.
That's help LOL should be the name of this episode. Alora?
Yes.
Is that what their name is? I mean, Alora, speaking as someone who feels fear constantly at the thought of relationships and stands at that door and doesn't ever go in it, I would say go in it. Like, if you're feeling fear about a certain direction, that's usually a sign that you should do it. And emotionally, because I think you sense that there's growth possible. So I would say go with your first option and put those resources toward trying to date other kinds of people, because you shouldn't have to suffer. Sorry, Andy, but suffer through cis straight white men
who don't understand you emotionally. You know, you're not being fulfilled.
Yeah, you deserve to be understood. You deserve to attract people who are warmed by who you are, and you should seek to make yourself known to people, because there are people out there who will want to get to know you. And I mean, they're hard to find. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's hard to meet people, but
it's worth the effort to me, especially if you're feeling like I'm not satisfied. Because to me, you know, help LOL tells me everything. And it's like, you want to make a change, Alora. You want to make a change, but you're scared of that change. And, you know, this issue about, I understand, oh my God, the body issues, the lack of confidence, fully understand. But you have to remember that anybody who is right for you is gonna like you as you are.
Yeah.
And like your body. Like there's don't feel like you have to change your appearance in hopes of attracting a person, because whatever person you need to change for isn't the one anyway. And I understand feeling uncomfortable, but whatever work you can do to not compare yourself to somebody who you're trying to, like, start a relationship with or get to know, you know, in that way, either, you know, whichever it is.
Yeah, and this I feel you on the socially awkward thing. Like, I used to be terribly socially awkward. It takes practice. You just have to, like, you have to be willing to have a bunch of terrible interactions to learn how to have good interactions. I remember, this is so embarrassing, but, like, when I first moved to New York, a friend of mine from Pittsburgh was playing a house show. He is in this kind of, like, experimental, he played dulcimer and fingerpick guitar type stuff. Oh, yes, my. Naomi is shaking her head, like.
Yes.
And I love it. I think he's a great musician. And he was playing this house show in Greenpoint. It was like a block from where I live. So I'm like, I have to go to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I only knew him. He's a kind of socially awkward person. And I knew no one else there. And I was like standing in the doorway. Like I got there too early.
Oh.
And he was like putting together his
dulcimer.
Was doing yeah. He was doing whatever he had to do before the show in another room. And I was just standing there in this doorway and I'm like, fuck, I'm here in this new city. I want to try to meet people and know. And I remember going up, like there was some, I like made eye contact with a woman there. And after a while, I finally was like, oh, I'll just go say hi or something. And I ended up just like babbling, saying like, I standing over there and I was like, oh, I could just stand over here and not talk, or I could go say, and I don't think I said this, but I bet I in my memory, I said something about like, that's probably what a serial killer does, is stand there and just look at, like, I don't think I said that, but like, that's what my brain has like transformed the awkwardness into. And it was terrible. It haunts me still.
Oh, and there were
so many of those interactions, and I had to just have them so I could learn to how to say hello to a person in a normal way and be like, right. Oh, hey, I'm Ann. Like it struck so much fear into my heart just to say, oh, hey, I'm Andy. What's your name? And then finally, after a while, I learned you can do that.
right.
And it does get easier. And quite frankly, Allura, you sound really fun, actually. I mean, the help LOL is really funny. And I actually think like a sense of humor goes a long way. And I think, you know, you're hearing from three people now whose lives have been saved pretty regularly by senses of humor.
Yes.
And it will that will guide you and protect you and nourish you as you go forward. And I think, you know, so much of what you detail in your question, I think, is just products of engaging in the patriarchy. And and you say like dating cis men is easier. But that's because there's a model for it. And that model we are continuing to learn is incredibly toxic. It's incredibly hostile to, you know, female or female identifying people. And it's dangerous and damaging, you know, in a lot of emotional ways. And I think so much of our work, now that we're in a tearing down phase of so many, you know, abhorrent structures or attempting to start tearing those down, is, you know, rejecting that patriarchal model. And I think there's something, I think in a way you could be excited to think, oh, this is a realm where there isn't a model. And, you know, I don't know what it's like to date someone who's not a cis identifying male. And you can kind of make your own rules, and you can kind of build your own model with someone. And I think that even though that is scary, it's much more exciting and much more rewarding. And fuck the patriarchy.
Honestly, that's it.
I know. I was like, I'm like, yep, there. That's perfect.
That's it.
I loved
it. That's our episode. That's literally, yeah, honestly, rewarding. Fuck the patriarchy. Thank you,
Isaac.
Much, Isaac.
A true joy.
A true joy.
Oh my God. You guys as well. It's so wonderful to see you.
You're wonderful.
I love you guys so much.
Everyone,
thank you for having me.
Your wonderful book, Intimacy Idiot. You know we're in Quar. Okay?
Yeah.
Support a local bookstore. Yeah. Buy Intimacy Idiot. Read up.
It's deeply discounted now. So you can really, Yeah, and a minor hit in America's prisons. So, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I got a couple prison letters. It was very, very gratifying.
So, so anyway. Does that mean you're coming out as pro the carceral state?
Oh, God. Oh, God. oh, yeah.
JK, JK, JK. Isaac, thank you again. And we'll
thank
see
you guys
next time. Bye. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.